Hello.
又在不行。Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. Oh, okay. Yeah, now okay. Okay. Yeah, because according to bright tune, the wire was loose. Eh? Okay. Anyway, very good evening to all, eh? Brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 8th of November. Oh, 9 already. 9 of November 2017, Thursday. We are having our class at Pamasri House. Eh? But because we don't have so many people, there is only about 6 or 7 of us. Eh? Yeah. So what we will do is we will have a simple puja. Then we will have an informal session. Eh? Then we can discuss whatever we like. We will still have our meditation and our chanting. Eh? Okay, let us light the candles and the incense, then have a quick puja. Never mind, la. Let your dad and your mate light. La. Yeah. Come. Light the candle and the incense. Very good. Yeah. 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 Yeah, hi, you 4个. You like one. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Hi, Alicia. Hi, Yoika. Yeah. Yeah, 这边. 这边, 这边. Okay, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, offer the tray, yeah, start with the tray. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, 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 chanting book. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, thank you. You all can be seated. Then we will start the puja chanting. Yeah? Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Guansin Pusa. Namo Guansin Pusa. Namo Quan Sri Pusa, Namo Mila Pho, Namo Mila Pho, Namo Mila Pho, Namo Pho Pusa, Namo Pusa, Namo Pho Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi.So akato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namassami. So patipanno bhagavato sāvakasangho sanghang namami. Okay, you can be seated, then turn to page 1.Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama SambuddhassaBuddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami,Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Kamesu michachara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyamiMusāvādā virammani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi Sūrāmērāyā macchāpamādathānā virammani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi We are now chanting Padipa Puja, offering of light. Ganna sarpa dithenaDipena tamadang sina Diloka dipang sambuddhang Pujayami tamonudang Ganda sambarayutena Dupena hang sugang hina Pujaye pujaniyang tang Puja bhajana mutamangVanna ganda gono petang Etang kusuma santatin Pujayami munindasa Siri pada sarorohe Pujemi buddhang kusumena nena Punnena matena chahotu mokhangPupang milayati yata idang me Kayo tata yati vinasa bhavang Adivase tuno bante Paniyang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamangAdivase tuno bante Pale parikapitang Anukampang upadaya patikan hatu mutemang adiwase tuno bante bojanang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya patikan hatu mutemang. Now your chandi puja aspiration. Based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Buddha, the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the dana parami of generosity and the fruits of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, then sharing and transfer merits with all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu. Let's pay respect to Triple Jam. Bhutang Pujemi. Dhammang Pujemi. Sanghang Pujemi. Okay, you all can be seated, then we can have half an hour of meditation. We are off the light. Then I will ring the bell after about 30 minutes. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who are now, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Eh? Turn to page 6. We will chant the invocation to the devas. Invocations to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities and devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samantha Chakawalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Munirajasa Sunantu Sakamokkadam Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vijja carana sampanno sugato lokavido Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipasiko Opanaiko Pachatang Veditabho Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Samichi patipanno bhagavato savaka sango Yadidam chattari purisa yokkani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savaka sango Ahuneyo, pahuneyo, dakeneyo, anjali karaneyo, anutarang punyang ketang lokasate. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Puja. Buddhang Pujayami. Dhammang Pujayami. Sanghang Pujayami. Okay, you all can be seated. Then we can continue our second session. Like just now I mentioned, since today not that many of you, maybe we can have a very simple, informal session. You can come nearer if you want to. Then we can discuss whatever we want to discuss. We don't have to make it formal. Is there any particular topic or Dhamma that you want to maybe discuss or share? We can have it. Whatever question related to meditation, the Dhamma, and how to apply this teaching, we can discuss it. Where's Alicia? She's still meditating. Okay. So maybe we get Padmasri to start. Their experience at Cameron. They went up there for how long? Is it a week? Yeah.
The retreat is 7 days.
7 days. What retreat was it? It's Medicine Buddha.
Yes, Medicine Buddha.
Yeah. Retreat. What you all call it in Mandarin?
Yao Shi Qi.
7 days retreat. Regarding Medicine Buddha. Medicine Buddha, they call it the Yao Shi Fo. Yeah, you can
actually
share with us.
It's a 7 days retreat, but we had a very nice time because the schedule is quite relaxed.
Oh, good.
And, we have we started very early in the morning. The schedule is I start by sharing the schedule first. It's early in the morning, so the first gong is at 5 o'clock.
We are
supposed to wake up, and then by 5:15 or to 5:20, we are supposed to be down at the main shrine.
Yeah.
Then we have a zaoke.
Yes.
So during the zaoke, we will have this surangama mantra.
Okay.
Then we have round four. Then we have Guan Yin Zhan. We have round four. This is for every day.
Yeah.
Then after that, we have. This chanting to have affinity with this Wei Tuo Po Sa.
The Bodhisattva.
Then
Dharma Protector.
The Dharma Protector. Then we have Shi Xiao Zhou, we have Da Bei Zhou, we have Xing Jing. We'll finish by at about 6:15. So after that is our own practice.
Yeah.
Until 7 o'clock breakfast. During our own practice, some will go out, have their walking, and some will do bowing, and some will meditate in the hall.
In the hall.
But of course, some of them, they will do their own work. So after that, we'll have a break, and then 8:30, we'll start Ti Yi Zhi Xiang, they call. Ti Yi Zhi Xiang. So during the Ti Yi Zhi Xiang, we will chant the sutra and mantra about Yao Shi Fo. After that, then we will have a sitting round four.
Yeah.
Then sitting meditation for 20 minutes. After that, after round four, they will usually let us chant. Then round four, walk. Then only we sit so that we settle down.
So that the mindfulness is there. And when you meditate, it should be very easy.
So the Lao Shi Fu always tell us when we are walking, we cannot ta wang xiang, means our mind cannot go out of our
wandering thought.
Wandering.
Yeah. We have to be mindful.
We have to be mindful. Mindful of our step.
Yeah.
And then we have to take care of the person walking in front of us. And then we have to be aware of the person walking
behind you.
And he is a very mindful person, although he closed his eyes. He know who is walking past. Things like that. He'll be sitting there and then watching us. After that, about 11, we have Sangkong. Sangkong is like offering food to the Triple Gem. After that, then we have our lunch. Then we have our lunch break. Then we start again 2:30.
Oh, okay.
2:30, that is a 第三支香.
Yeah.
第三支香 also the same chanting, then walking.
Yeah.
Then we have sitting.
Yeah, yeah.
Then after that we have our 晚课.
Mm.
So 晚课 we will have 弥陀经.
Oh, very good.
弥陀经, walking about the 阿弥陀佛, 绕佛.
Yeah.
And then after that, we have the 88佛, repentance.
Yeah, I know.
They do the repentance every
yes,
day.
Yeah.
But we do the bowing and repentance
yeah.
every day.
Mm.
Then after that, they will give us a break for washing up until 8 o'clock.
Mm.
Then after that, the night session, we will start again with chanting, walking, and some discussion, then some housekeeping.
Mm-hmm.
Discussion and housekeeping, then Sufu will tell us what is the mistake that we made during
yeah,
the day,
yeah.
and then he'll do some reflection with us. So most of the time about 9:30 to 9:40 he will let us rest.
Very good. So that's your routine, huh?
That's
good.
A routine for seven days.
Yeah. And you're supposed to maintain mindfulness throughout.
And then we are not supposed to talk in the main shrine hall.
Yeah, yeah.
And during the walking and chanting in the... Actually, we use the fourth floor upstairs.
Yeah,
it was
know.
Really cozy.
Yeah.
It was really
yeah,
cozy.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it was away from all the guests outside.
Yes,
and then, we are not supposed to talk. Even we talk, we have to be very mindful.
Mm-hmm.
They let us talk, but they said you must be mindful and no frivolous speech, no singing and all that.
Mm.
He keep on reminding us, but of course, some of us are very obedient, some are very new.
Yeah.
You know, they have their own schedule when they come in. They have their own,
very
they
good.
Bring in their own problems.
Yeah, yeah.
Then after that, I stay back for the Kuan Yin retreat.
Oh,
Kuan
okay.
Kuan Yin Tan. Kuan Yin Tan was on Tuesday.
After the 7 days.
Yes, after the 7 days.
Okay.
So Monday, I stay back for as a volunteers. But I learn
to help out
to
in
help
the kitchen.
Out in the kitchen, but really, I observe that most of the participants in all of them are volunteers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they work very hard.
Mm.
In fact, they wake up about 3 something to
prepare
the
food
for the next for that morning's sale.
So
the sale will start 6:30. People coming in to buy food already.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of the food finish at 7:30 finished. So by 9:30 we clean up everything.
Very good.
So 10 o'clock everybody will be in the hall to chant for the Kuan Yin Tan.
Very good. Yeah.
Then after that, some will stay back in the kitchen to prepare for the lunch.
Okay.
About, I think, if I'm not mistaken, around 400-500 people come in
for
lunch.
For the lunch. Yeah.
And the way they cook is really gotong royong.
Yeah.
And then you...
It's something very...
very unique.
Unique and
very,
nice for you to experience it, because the cooking for 400 old people by volunteer is not easy. And they have to be very committed, very experienced, very skillful. Otherwise, you cannot do it so well. Mm. Yeah,
I find that they have a lot of faith.
Yeah.
They have a lot of faith in them.
That's why Kuan Yin's nature up there is very different. Very, very different. Very powerful, that nature up there. Kuan Yin is a very beautiful being. Very, very merciful. Full of compassion, full of love, full of wisdom, understanding, and very compassionate. And Kuan Yin's nature has great affinity with living beings, especially cultivators of the way and suffering beings. Very, very unique. When you come to understand her nature, you have a lot of faith, a lot of joy, a lot of gratitude and respect. Of Kuan Yin's nature, and you will continue to seek her blessing, protection, and guidance, because her nature can do that. Her nature is very different, very, very different, very unique, very beautiful. Very good, Sadhu.
Yeah, and then after that night, I visited this Teng Xiong Sifu. She has a Jing Shi at another town, this what is it called? Raja, Kampung Raja or something like that, inside the plantation.
Yeah.
So actually, she was very compassionate. She started that jingse for the ladies, for the ladies around there. So that night we chanted the Puman Ping inside inside that. It was about around 25 of us to part. So a lot of them, they came in because they are too far away from Sanpao Si, too far away to travel out. So Sifu
went in
to help them out, to teach them.
To let them partake in all this.
So we also have chanting and we have round four and we also have sitting meditation. Surprisingly, those who take part, and some of them, they can't read at all.
Yeah.
But still, they can chant the Puman Ping very well. They can chant.
Through memory.
Yes, through memory. Within 6 months, they memorized the whole thing.
And
then it was that night, it was very calm and very serene.
Melodious.
And then the surrounding was very quiet because no traffic, nothing.
Fado, that's in the plantation.
Yes.
Nature's vibration. Very good, Sadhu. Wow. So, is there anything that you have learned from this retreat that you feel that you should share with people? Yeah.
Actually, there are many things happened during these 7 days.
Yeah.
In the first case, there were two extreme things that that actually happened. There was one boy who was 18 years old. He went by motorbike. He was trying to overtake a lorry, a lorry sending vegetables. So he was knocked down by the lorry and he fell underneath the lorry. Then the lorry went over him. So he passed away immediately after that. So it was like what I would say. He was very pitiful actually. He is the son of a farmer with a illegal immigrant. So he has no IC, he has no identity. And the people there try to help him out with his education until he is this year. The day that he was knocked down, he is supposed to be sitting SPM. Because he doesn't have an IC, so he cannot sit. That's why he went to help with his uncle to send things to a friend, and then he was knocked down.
Accident.
Accident. Actually, what happened is the father passed away a year ago. And after the father passed away, the grandfather sent the mother back to Indonesia. So they want to retain the son with them. They want the son, but they, in the Chinese say, the Cantonese, the people around there, they say, Oi Chai Moi Na. They don't want the mother. So it was like there were some comments that, nah, you see lah, you don't want, you separate the mother and the son. Now you suffer lah. You lost because the grandfather was very sad. Suffering from this, the grandchild passed away at a very young age, and they don't want to put his pai wai at the home, so he has nowhere to go. And you can see that the Sangha in this Sampo temple is really very compassionate. They went to chant for him, they went to tsap kam, they said after the cremation. They pick up the thing for him and they put him in the temple. They chant for him every evening. So I can see this temple has been doing a lot of very compassionate thing with, to the people around there.
Very good.
And, and then the next day I experienced another thing. Another volunteers who worked in the temple for a very long time. But suddenly he came back. He was shaved. He was shaved and ordained. He didn't go through the Samanera or Samanera. Within one day, he was shaved and ordained. So like this one was like too extreme. You can see the phenomenon. How karma. And this Fa Chan Shi, the Tang Jia, also told us, you see this boy, the karma is like that. This this man, the volunteer, the karma is like that. You know, so it was like, it's a real life experience
For you to see.
For us to see, and we have to understand, to take care of our karma.
Yeah, very important. That's why if you want to have the good life, you have to take care of karma. And to take care of karma, you have to obey the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, to purify the mind. Is you plant the seed of wholesomeness, then you will reap the fruit of wholesomeness so that your good life can manifest. Then you can have the condition to leave them. Otherwise, living being is not easy to go through life without the Dhamma. The reality of life and existence will hit everywhere, like the 18-year-old boy. Huh? The condition of the emperor already very tough, no identity, nothing. And yet, the miserable happening at the age of 18, then separation, death. These are the reality. Then the suffering from the grandparent. And it's going to affect many people. And the temple has great compassion because if they can help any disease to appease their mind, to have better birth and better future, they will do it. That's why they are willing to help in the cremation and other things. Then bring back the whatever balance of you call tapkamma or whatever bones or ashes or relics. They will just take a bit, then they will maybe place it at the temple place and chao tu, do the chanting, transfer merit, share merits. And if it's in that environment, that being's future will be much better. Because they will get to receive all this transfer merit, sharing of merits. Then later on, if they can be around, the random of consciousness that come out, which I believe will be around, there will be a lot of joy. Then they will have a lot of peace. That's how you can help at peace the non-human. Like the Buddha mentioned in the Tirukkudu Sutta. Because when you are in that rhyme, you can't do much. It's not like all human rhyme, where you can have an education, you have career, you can do business, you can become farmer, plowing, harvesting. Don't have. Merchandising or don't have down there. Down there, there is no such thing as career. You cannot work. And you are in that state they call the beta state, where you depend entirely on people's merits, on people related to you to share merits with you before you can receive. So these are very, very what they call a difficult situation for people who didn't take care of karma. So at least the Sangha, when they know about this, they can do something. So even in the Tirukkudu Sutta is mentioned, because they don't have all this. So the Buddha mentioned, is it no amount of sorrow and lamentation can bring back the dead. And whatever you do, if it's through delusion, it's not going to be useful, it's not going to help. The best way is to remember them, have good thought, kind thought, and wish them well-being. Then make offering in their name, in memory of them, to the Sangha for wholesomeness, other things like charity, generosity. But the main one is to make offering to the Sangha, because the merits that come with it is very different. It's very powerful. It has its potency and all those things. So for you to go through all this is very good. Then the monk also, like you say, the Tang Jia. What is his name? Fa Chan Sifu. He's a very good monk. He's very mindful. And he understands That's why he can share with you all this.
After this this incident, he shared with us about this gong ye, about what is it called, common karma.
Yeah. Group karma. Collective karma. Gong, collective. Collective group karma.
He has been a monk for a very long time there, so he know the villages. So it seems that this family which the boy was born to has not been treating the workers
well.
Like he said, he's beating up the workers, like beating
animals.
I said it's like gong ye. That's why this boy's karma has relation to. Is related
correct.
This kind of character.
Yeah.
That's why he is born to that family, and he suffer all these things.
That's
what he shared with us. Kongye.
Because, like the Buddha mentioned, you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. You are what you are because of your karma, and this is the daily reflection or contemplation that cultivator must do every day, so that you understand the importance of karma, because your entire life depends on karma, where we are born of it. We inherit everything that karma creates. That's why you are born of your karma, heir to your karma. Then every moment, every instant, you are conditioned and supported by your karma. You cannot run. Then you are what you are because of your karma. Wherever you are, whatever civilization or situation you are in during that segmented life. So karma being the most important. So when you take birth according to karma, it's all related to your karmic affinity. Your affinity with those parents, families that you supposed to be born into. Then your affinity with your brothers, sisters, neighbors, and all those workers, and whomever that you are supposed to be having relationship with, there is a reason behind. That's why all this they were conditioned together. And sometimes it's collective. All of those who are involved in all those things, they will come together as one family. Or sometimes it may not be one family, it may be within the village. Then sometimes you may be born in different places, but when it's a collective karma or group karma for you to suffer or die, you will all come together and go into the same plane or same ship, or you will go to that particular place where something will happen. That is what will trigger off. So karma is something that you have to develop through cultivation, through observing, understanding. And you need wisdom to understand karma. Without wisdom, not easy. And this wisdom has to be developed over a period, long period of cultivation. That's the reason why Sakyamuni Buddha, he did explain to the monks. He said, this law of karma is a very, very complicated understanding. This type of teaching, only great beings can understand. Because it is very difficult to comprehend karma. Karma is not what you think straightforward. No. It's born out of all the interdependent conditions that happen over the great period of evolution of each and every living beings. And the whole universe is full of living beings. Human being is just a very small minority or minute percentage. The other beings are a lot more. We have the 31 plane. Then even within our civilization, planet Earth, we already have the 4 petas, or they call it the woeful state. Means karma dukkati, the suffering rhyme, the four. You have the demon rhyme, the animal rhyme. Then you have the peta rhyme and the hell rhyme. The hell rhyme has the most. And the population now there is a lot more, a lot more. Then the human rhyme is the happy rhyme. Then you have the deva rhymes. Then within the human rhyme, you also have a lot of other beings together existing. They also have the deva rhymes, the first six deva rhymes. Then you have the 16 Brahma rhyme. Then above the 16 Brahma rhyme, of course, you have the formless rhyme. So together you add them up, it's 31. These are beings that exist within this universe. We call it the planes of existence, 31 planes of existence. And each and every of these rhymes, especially animal rhyme, used being mentioned as animal, but they are not restricted to only animals on the sana. It includes all the insects, all the fishes, all the whatever that exists on this planet, even the birds, those that you see in the Arctic, Antarctic. Like seal, S-E-A-L, seal. Then you got those penguins, and many, many other type of beings. So within the animal rhyme, the population is so huge. Even the ants, the termites and all those things, the lizard. Then you have, apart from animal, the demons. The demons are a lot, those who have anger. Then, of course, peta also a lot, countless. Or the hell rhyme is the most. I can say the hell rhyme easily 3/4 of the living beings. That's why a lot of deluded beings, they suffer down there. And it takes them a long time to come out. Sometimes as cultivator also, you make mistakes. You also go down, but not long, because you have Kayamita who transfer marriage. Then after your karmic thing is gone, you start again, your good roots will come and help you. Then you also have those who are not so deluded. Then they have better condition. Then you have cultivator who can develop the understanding and become beautiful, great beings. This one, they can walk the path of the Bodhisattva, the way of the Bodhisattva. When they cultivate the Bodhisattva way, they can come back and go to all the rhyme, to experience life, to understand all the rhymes. So sometimes they make very, very heavy vows to have the condition to be with all these beings. And they really go all out to perfect themselves, their parami. I think your dad want to go in. Bring him in. Help him. Slowly. Oh, he want to sit that chair. More stable. If he feel comfortable there, then let him be there. Or he wants to go in there. Good. Slowly. Very good. Sadhu. So, anything else you want to share?
The last day before I came down, actually something very interesting happened. There were this one Theravadan monk. Among all the Chinese community and the Mahayana community, there were one Theravadan monk there. He was at the market there doing his arms round. And then actually he was there alone, and somebody brought him there. And then actually he was after that, I understand that he has been there for about 2 to 3 years.
Oh, okay.
Then there were one family supported him.
Oh, okay.
Give him the shelter and apartment to cook him the food. So I met up, I meet him at the food store where he ate. I offered him something.
Yeah, yeah.
So he tried to share something with me, and then he started talking about this noble Eiffel Puff. Then he tested me. He said, "What is noble Eiffel Puff? How should you start walking the path and all that?" I said, "Started with right view."
Yeah, yeah.
So he asked me, "What is right view?" So of course I told him that it's Kama Niyama, Citta Niyama, and
Dhamma
Niyama. He said, "Yeah, you know the theory, but how can you apply in your daily life? To go in, how to walk the path in your daily life? How to have apply this Dhamma Niyama, Kama Niyama in the daily life?" So he was, it was like a discussion, and then he told me, to apply the right view, you must see things as it is. You accept people and the phenomena around you as it is. You must
as they are.
Huh? As they are. That's why that is how you walk the path. he said, you have to be aware.
Is he a Malaysian?
I don't think he's, because from his complexion, I think he's a Thai.
He's a Thai,
but he speak Cantonese to me.
He
speak Cantonese. After some time there, so he speak to the villagers around there in
he
Cantonese.
He knows some English. He don't know English.
Yeah, he know English because he was talking about this noble Eiffel Path. How to walk the path. He say, "You all only know by theory." was talking, "You must be aware and all that." Very interesting man.
You have encounter with that particular monk, Theravada monk. Good, sadhu. That's why in life, you never know who you will meet. So even that monk, he also never expect who that person is. Could be a lay person. But the understanding of true cultivator, they don't look at the form. They judge you by your heart, by your mind. And they will know. But for this particular monk to tell you all this means I don't think he really understands it in the true sense. Because when you have this type of mind state, keep on assuming people to know. Keep on saying, "You must like that, means you don't have that sensitivity of mind to be aware of people's parami, people's understanding. He should allow you to speak more. Then he should assess you from his understanding, then give you certain advice that are useful. By straight away telling all this, it's like he's assuming that you don't understand. You only know theory. But this is the way of the world. Living being, even so-called cultivator and practitioner, a lot of them, they have this type of mentality. And you can't blame them, for they are just the way they are. So to have this type of sensitivity and understanding, you must have the Dhamma. Then you will not speak too much. You will let them speak. Then you will understand through your own nature. If there is condition to share, to speak, then you will know. The moment you share, it will unfold. But if the moment you share, it doesn't unfold, and there is a lot of resistance, then you know it's the karmic thing. Yao yin mo fun, like the Cantonese say. Yu yan mei fen, so, just like, it's like two person, maybe they got affinity to get to know each other, but they cannot get together to be married couple. So a lot of these Chinese or Mandarin saying, they are very meaningful. So in Dhamma is the same. When we want to help people share certain teaching or Dhamma with people, you cannot just because you want to share and you think I am being compassionate. No. That's why the final understanding is you will know what condition behind causes and effect. You will know how to accord and flow with condition. Without condition, nothing happens. When there is condition, things will unfold. Then, when it unfolds, it depends on the karmic affinity and the condition. If there is condition, things will continue to happen. That's why you don't have to know. You don't even have to like want to help, want to what. No. If there is condition, the condition will unfold, things will happen. That's why Dhamma is very unique, very beautiful. Full of what they call beautiful encounters and experiences. And a lot of these things is beyond words. Then of course, for your case, you still see this extreme and all these things happening. Initially, as you go through cultivation, these are very common things. Yeah. But you are sensitive, you will understand them. But as you continue to progress, you evolve and become very different again. And every stage is different. Every stage you learn different things. It unfolds and let you see different things. Then later on, as you progress further and further, a lot of other things will happen. Then your understanding again transforms. That's why wisdom is unending. and there's a lot of things behind. So as you cultivate, the heart open up, the understanding unfolds, your nature becomes more and more beautiful. And your nature starts to understand things that is never understood by human beings or living beings. Only the great beings can understand. Yeah. So it's during those period when your nature becomes different, immature until you have the understanding. Then whenever your form and mind come, your form and mind is so different because it inherit all this perfection, understanding, karma. And because of your nature's affinity with living beings, those that have affinity, they will come to you and you will know. Then according to their affinity, their karma, they will receive accordingly. There is no such thing as favoring who and who and who, no more. It goes beyond even relationship. It goes beyond even race, belief system, and all those things. Everything depends on affinity, condition, and understanding. So these are the important things that you can learn. So as you go through, more and more things will unfold. And this is one of the typical good retreat that you have experienced because you can understand things better now, then you can experience things with understanding. Then you have a lot of joy, a lot of what they call gratitude, contentment. Then that understanding will give rise to inward transformation. Then every of this you go, you will receive a lot of support in the form of your affinity with those great beings, the vibration, the energy, the collective consciousness at that time, the wholesomeness of action, speech and thought process. And these are what cultivation is all about. Every moment, every instant, you are in the spiritual path. So later on, you will also understand when there is condition to go, you will go. And there are time to go. After a while, things will be different again. then you understand. You don't have to go away, actually, because everywhere is the Dhamma, everywhere is cultivation, and you can do it in the midst of life, in the midst of career, in the midst of activity, and everything. That is the later part, the higher understanding. But initially, if there is condition to go, you better go, because there are reasons for all these things to happen. Like during the early years, I remember 1989 to 92, I travel a lot. I go to many places. Then after that, I don't know what happened. This one cannot move. No need to go anywhere. Even Brickfield Temple, so I didn't go. Then after that, I didn't do anything. So after 1989, I remember, I traveled until 92, where I met my last guide. Then after that, until now, no more guide, no more teacher, nothing. Then after 92, my nature stopped moving. No condition, I don't go anywhere. Until the year 2004, when Yun Chan came and invite this nature to come out. Then all these things unfold. That's why those great beings that come, their cultivation is different. The way they come is different. The way they receive is different. And the way they give also different. Well, that is their nature. So that nature is very different, very powerful. And all this is beyond just the sainthood way, the individual striving to be enlightened. By then, the sainthood way is normal. Of course, it's something very beautiful. You can realize that. The most beings cannot. They can't even touch that. But when you move on to higher understanding and different level of cultivation, then you will know. Even the sainthood way is important, but it's really nothing compared to the further way. Because the actual cultivation is so much more, and it's beyond those sainthood ways understanding, completely beyond. That's why this way has its uniqueness, its beauty. It's what they call, I don't know what word to use. It is something that is, we call it what? Wonderful. I think the word is wonderful. Then I got one teacher who said, although it's very long, very, very long, but it's rewarding. It's really rewarding. And these are the words they use, because after they have gone through, they can tell you. But this reward is not really like reward you or yourself. No, rewarding means like after you have strived for this understanding and all those things, so finally you will see how it benefits your nature. Means like your nature is rewarded. But it's not you are given something. No. It's just your nature become different. And when you can have that type of understanding, that type of life, that type of possibility, then you know this way, although long, difficult, tough, by normal human standard. But for those who understand, it's nothing. And I have shared this in the book with you, Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way, the five stages of Bodhi-mind development. When you reach the fourth stage, end of the third stage of Bodhi-mind development, when you can renounce samsara and cultivate, those are the most beautiful era of your cultivation. Then after that, your nature becomes more and more beautiful. That is the what we call the non-regression state. Everything can be developed and perfected beautifully. Okay. Very good. Thank you so much. Yeah? Let us rejoice with Paramasri sharing. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Anything else you want to add? Now you call upon Alicia to share now. Pass the mic to Alicia. Yeah, sadhu. Yeah, she also went a few days. Who else went with you? Miss Lee. Oh, Miss Lee didn't go. This round only the two of you. Wow, oh, very good. Sadhu. Choi Kai Pak Tong. Yeah. Huh? You, you share ma? 我记得是不是你跟我讲那个 bus stop somewhere? Last one. Oh, 不是这一阵啊, that was a previous trip.
Bertil, 要学什么? 我其实去药师佛去就是学develop我的 mindfulness, 还有就是希望我学到的那些功德回向给全部众生，就是这样子。
Yeah, also, 你也该知道, your nature got great affinity with your Sifo. I remember you came and asked me this question. How come when, was it when you are chanting your Sifo's chant or what, you feel sleepy? Was it chanting your Sifo's chant? Remember what I told you? He want you to meditate. That's why you go and meditate. Otherwise, you won't be sleepy. When you chant his thing, how can you be sleepy? Yeah, That's why he want you to meditate. Because during that time, it's most conducive for you. That's why you must go and lie down. Just don't do anything. That's the reason why I told you all. In this life, even when I come, my nature is so different. I go to retreat. I never follow instruction. I never follow their standard procedure on SOP. I never even follow what they tell me to do. My nature just know what to do. Then when the monk interviewed me, the monk also shocked. But they know this guy understand. This guy do things with understanding. That's why when I report differently. I say I don't do all those type of things. Then he asked me, what do you do? I say I just relax and silent. Then after that, the anapanasati just come. Then I say my breath becomes so subtle. Then everything still, silent, fully aware. When they hear this, they also shock. Then there was one early day teacher, I remember. After I described how my mind becomes so calm with the anapanasati, she was teaching rising, falling, you know, the Burmese. She became so interested, she kept on asking me, you know, anything else, what happened after that, So I explained to her, I said, every breath like so clear, you know, the sati is so clear, you know, so it's like a lot of things inside there, you know, that every in and out breath is so full of awareness, the mind is so calm, so still, so aware, and there's a lot of pity, there's a lot of sukha, a lot of joy. Then later on, it settled down. Then it becomes still. And nobody teach me how to meditate. I don't even know how to meditate. But the moment I sat, I just know how to relax. Then the anapanasati just come. Then I just know. My nature just know how to silence my mind. And nobody taught me about this. Then later on, only my nature came to know how to connect. No wonder all these things that they are teaching people is not effective because people don't understand what is meditation. That's why this Friday's talk is very interesting. The title they gave me, I purposely accept and I didn't want to comment because I will explain under tomorrow's talk at Klang there. Actually, the title is not correct, but it appears logical, like very interesting. That's why Jin Hao that day also came and told me, what brought you? You know, this coming Friday's talk, the title is very interesting. I don't know whether he understand or he don't understand. Anyway, this is how nature's condition will manifest. And I like the clang topic because they come out with very funny topic. Early days, I used to change their title. I say, no, this is not correct. Then I change the title. Then I think this year onward, I realize, no need to change. Let them choose the title. Then I point out to them. So at least this will clear up the wrong understanding, the misconception of meditation and cultivation. Very good. Hai Yuna, just describe what happened. 你上去到你
下来。还有就是我一念那个药师佛的唱，他就整个人就头就要跌下来，就睡。Then after that, 我一上来哦，又可以跟回那个禅定的我，全部得。
Yeah, that's how you will know. Your nature will know.
And then,
that's how everyone is different.
Yeah. And then now when I chant with feet, no matter how fast they go, I can pick it up.
Follow, you can follow.
很奇怪。
No, because you have done it before. You have affinity, 药师佛. That's why you are able to have that 感应. When you are at the Ampang, What you call that Xuan Hua Temple? What is that?
Oh, 那个是没有，我这个药师佛都是在 Miss Lee 那边。
没有，有一次你说在那个。
那个是地藏王菩萨。
地藏王
这个是药师佛。
Yeah, 地藏王。
The first time I chant 药师佛 chanting in Miss Lee's place.
Oh, Miss Lee's place.
Then after that, 过了几天，哇，那个 chanting 一直在我的心那边，我就问你，跑去问你啊，这样。
在 Miss Lee 那边。
Miss Lee 那边。
他那边有药师佛吗？
我就是很奇怪，我第一次去他的那边哦，他们就 chant 那个药师佛。
哦，他们 chant。
他们 chant， 我就跟。
I didn't see the 药师佛 image。
因为我就跟住他们。唱 ，then after that， 隔壁的人还问，哎，你干嘛这样熟的？你时常来，不是我第一次来。
Yeah， that's why you are no one. We call it 感应啊。Your nature inside will no one 感应。Like this line I come, I English educated. How can I understand all this Mahayana chanting, Mandarin? But very funny, you know, when the chanting come out. My nature inside, respond. Not only respond, like you understand this one. It heard before. Then inside there, it chant by itself. The awareness is there. It's just aware, be with it. Then it's like singing. You sing from the heart, understand? When you sing from the heart, it's everything from the heart. That's why this heart chakra, they will open up. And you open up through understanding, through faith, through your ability to express that feeling from inside. Then that understanding, that faith, the sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and manya. Sati is when it's from the heart, it's without thought. It's from this nature it come out, straight from the heart. That's why I realized when I was young, I like to sing Mandarin song because all the song come from the heart. And I like Mandarin song because the song of the 70s, especially 60s and 70s, not too old. The more modern song, Liu Xing, Ge Qu, but with meaning, where the word inside there has a lot of meaning. It's just like 往事只能回味. Oh, the first time I heard that song, I like that song like anything. So a lot of these songs, they have a lot of meaning. Then some are very poetic, And I don't know Mandarin, but I listen, then I know how to sing. And I sing very accurately, because even the pronunciation also. So if people doesn't know, if they just hear me speak and sing, they thought I'm from Chinese school, Chinese educated. But no. That's why it's your affinity, your past cultivation. And it will match, 感应, 感应, it will arise. So even when Xuan Hua spoke the type of China type of Mandarin, his type of Mandarin is very difficult to understand. according to my wife, who is a Chinese school, primary school teacher, she finds it so difficult to understand. But I find it very easy to comprehend because it's Dhamma. And I like the way he expressed them. He always say, 佛就是心，心就是佛。 佛，你无慧心，就无慧佛。 So all these are very interesting. Then he talked about karma. 种因结果，施主们千万不要种错因结错果。 Then later on, even the I think the Pure Land teaching also. When I heard those suttas, where they chant this part, "Fan Nao Zhang, Suo Zhi Zhang," I straight away understand one. Oh, very funny. Straight away, this nature understand. Then you got a lot of all this like heart sutta thing, Form is emptiness, emptiness is form. I awaken through the Mandarin. So this Mandarin one is very good. Especially when they chant the heart sutta, Guan Zi Zai Pu Sa and all those things. Se ji shi kong, kong ji shi se. Shou xiang xing shi, all this. Oh, very beautiful. Then this nature just open up. Oh, so beautiful. And it's the first time I heard it. Then when I read through, some of the words I'm not sure, I asked my wife. Then later on when I received a translation from Xianhua, we are Xianhua under the city of 10,000 Buddha. They got the translation society. Their translation is so far one of the good ones. Then when I read the English, I realized it's very accurate and very beautiful. That's why immediately I understand the whole thing. Then I didn't learn from anybody. Even the commentary by Xianhua also not easy to understand. But my nature can understand beyond the commentary. And I can express it out in a different way. I never learned all these things this life. That's why you have to understand that there is such thing as karmic nature, spiritual nature, the form and mind, the secret of life, how living beings arise. Then you have to understand who are you, what are you. Without all this, not easy, not easy. So tonight, informal discussion turned out to be better. Okay, anybody else want to share anything else? So what about Freddy, Sri Lanka and India? Sometimes it can become Dhamma without you knowing it. Your experience of diarrhea and all those things. You just relate what happened, then how you can understand it from the Dhamma point of view, how it has actually helped you to understand many things, to be more patient and all those things. Push it out.
Actually, nothing much to share. But this is my first time to Sri Lanka because I have to wait for my friend in the airport. So I spent some time with the information counter. So I think the people are, when I talk to them, they very friendly.
Very good.
So after talking a few minutes or 10, 20 minutes or what, they say, can I interview, give us some words, interview me.
Wow, Satu.
I think should be in the on the YouTube or what.
Oh, YouTube, very good. Oh, they interview you. That's interesting.
So I say, okay.
So what did they ask you?
No, nothing. Just tell me
general interview.
My first visit arrive to, and And how do you feel and all
that? The country and all those things.
Yeah, it's just in the airport. You know?
Yeah.
So I say the moment I come down, I feel very comfortable.
Ah, good.
Just tell them
your impression of that place, Sadhu.
And the two of them are very friendly and
helpful. Friendly.
Helpful and all this. They give me a lot of information about the country.
Oh, very good, yeah. Sadhu.
So that's the first experience in the airport.
That's why when you have this, what they call right training, to interact with people, this is part of right speech. People will find you different. You are like very sincere, and people willing to help you. That's why they are very kind, very helpful. But if you are very crude in your communication, that's why without noble eightfold path, it's very difficult for you to interact around, for you to get information, for you to get help and assistance. That's why your approach to people, your relationship with people, your communication skill, you have to develop them through what? Through cultivating noble eightfold path. With understanding. In life, you express yourself. Because when we need people's help, we need to be courteous. We need to be gentle, pleasant in our approach. We need to address people nicely. Can you do me a favor? I'm new. So they will be very interested. I'm from Malaysia. Are you local? Then if you start with a very friendly tone, they will respond to you. Especially when I was at this airport place or what, then when I saw foreign tourists, I will smile to them. Then when there is condition, they will approach me and ask me questions. Then when I try my very best to help them, they feel very good. Then they ask me, are you from Malaysia? I say, yeah, I'm a local from Malaysia. Oh, he said, your English is very good. Yeah, Malaysian are fairly good in English. And we can almost communicate and speak to them on any topic in the world. That's why Malaysian are very unique. And they like to employ Malaysian because our English is very good. And we are actually very different. Our Malaysian identity make us unique. And our education system, to be fair to the British, is very good during my time. And I really would like to thank the British government for giving us such beautiful education and understanding. Yeah. So these are the things that you can apply the Dhamma to help you when you are overseas traveling and other things. And these are beautiful things. So when you have problem, you have the Noble Eightfold Path, don't worry, don't panic, don't project your thought. You have to believe in your good karma. You will be okay, and people will be friendly to you because you are friendly. But if you got a karmic negativity, then you have to pay back your karma, then too bad. Somehow, all the appropriate right speech are gone out of the window, karma take over. Then you start to get angry, irritated, restless, impatient. Then all the negativity come out. That's what happened to many people. Then they got certain type of character. They feel very irritated when they are in a foreign land. Then sometimes you cannot stand the condition there. You get yourself very woke up for nothing. But the reality is, you are there, condition is like that, things will be like that, it's how you perceive it, how you fit in. If you choose to react negatively, then you create your own hell when you are there. No matter what happened, tell yourself, that's the reality, you are already here. You have made the decision to come here. So make full use of whatever you have there. And if you have the embodiment of the cultivation, the Noble Eightfold Path, the teaching, you will be beautiful because you are a blessing to all. And your nature will know, it is sensitive, it will respond accordingly. That's the beauty of the Buddha Dhamma. The Sai Buddha Dhamma is not just cross legs, sit here, meditate, hoping to be enlightened. That one is, to me, the least important. The more important is how you understand the teaching and put it into practice with understanding. Then you will come to know life itself is the true teacher, true Dhamma. Dhamma is everywhere in the midst of life and nature. Why can't you see? For those who see, they always see. And Dhamma can be applied everywhere, across all aspects of life and existence, even in your career, your relationship, while you are traveling. This is all Dhamma, the living Dhamma. I call it the living Dhamma. The understanding will unfold. And your nature is so beautiful, so different, so rich in its understanding, sensitive. Then you can really live life to the fullest. You can experience all of the wonders and beauties of life. Your nature can rejoice, open up, and feel everything so sensitive. Then you have affinity, those great beings, nature there. You will also know, and the non-humans, the devas, the Dhamma protector. That's why when you travel with all this understanding, you are like very well protected. You are like very blessed. The nature, the weather, all like very friendly to you. And everything will just fall into place. You don't have to worry. You just need to have the understanding to accord and flow. And life can be really beautiful, meaningful. And this is the reward that you will receive from cultivating the Buddha Dhamma correctly. With the correct understanding, you will become different. You will transform. It will transform you character-wise, personality-wise, understanding-wise, into a very beautiful living being or human being. Then you will start to understand more and more of your nature, your form and mind. Who are you? What are you? And how to develop the understanding to make use of this vehicle and tool that come through karma, karmically conditioned form and mind. Then when you have all this understanding, your nature becomes so beautiful. And this asana is a very beautiful window for you to develop all this understanding, stabilize them, and make all the vow. So that this life, all that is needed to be done, has been done. So this will prepare you for all your future coming. Even if you have to come, no more problem, because this understanding will follow you. And with this understanding, you got nothing to worry. Your way can only go all the way up. Your cultivation will lead you all the way just to progress along the path of Dhamma beautifully. Then you will have great affinity with all the great beings, the Kayanamitas, and all those that have affinity with your nature. Then you will play your role later on. Your nature will shine forth and be a blessing to all too. It's just like the website that we established. My most happy moment will be when all Kayanamitas has the Dhamma. Then our Kayamita family will be different. That time, Kayamita force will be a force to be reckoned. So, those who have the Dhamma, they will be a blessing to all. Then a lot of things will happen. Because this is how the what they call the collective consciousness of the cultivator can come together and move as one force. A common force, a common platform for all cultivators, because we are all Dhamma friends. Friends of the Dhamma who walk the path of Dhamma. Cultivator, practitioner. So all these are so beautiful. That's why Kayanamitaship is a very great concept. As originally proposed by Sakyamuni Buddha. He knew without Kayanamita, this way is impossible. You cannot find. You need enlightened beings, great beings, nature, to help you to cultivate, to develop the understanding, to comprehend all this. Because this way is not easy. It's only easy for those who understand. For those who don't understand, it's very, very difficult. Yeah. That's why the Buddha Sasana is just a very, very small window, even though 4 to 5 thousand years. But compared to the age of the universe, this is really, really very small window, infinitely small. 4,000 over years compared to billions and billions and billions of years. So all this, you will develop the understanding as you walk this path. Okay, good. Anything else? Yeah.
Yeah, I know that. The second day I got my diary. But I have a feeling I already told my friend, encourage him to go out and in, but he still insists want to go to the beach.
Along the beach, yeah.
So I have, I normally don't object. I try to accommodate.
Yeah.
But I only eat 3 spoonful.
Yeah, already enough to cause the diarrhea.
The rest are all he eat all. So only 3 spoon. I will try 3 spoon. Yeah. More than that, I won't eat.
Correct. I was told by a lot who go India, sure that they want. Yeah. Even Ramananda also prepared last time. Yeah.
So I think
because
it's okay.
their food and their water there is different from ours. Maybe they got immunity. You don't.
It's a very good experience, but it's without pain.
Yeah, without pain, and you can so accept it. You can tolerate it.
Only after one day pain, then I have to see a doctor.
Ah, yes.
And the doctor give me antibiotic. But I was allergic.
Oh,
one
to
day
get
only.
Antibiotic.
I have to take one day, and the whole body was red.
Wow. The rashes.
So, take it at ease. Leave it.
Just let it be. Very good. That's why with the Dhamma, you become different. You don't complain like before. Sadhu, very good.
So I think I should say thanks, Brother Teo. Last 4 years of learning, helped me a lot.
Helped a lot.
I used to be very hot tempered also. I don't know, I'm very nice, but... when things come in the office or whatever. But these trips, I also have a lot of problems, a lot of things happening. Yeah.
But
nothing happened.
Yeah, you know how to resolve them.
Because I believe that things happen with conditions.
Yeah, causes and conditions.
Causes and conditions.
If you don't react and stir your mind, you have clarity, you at peace, you will not create negative condition for negative karma to arise. Then you just focus on resolving issue and move on. So resolve things amicably and move on using Noble Eightfold Path skillful means. Now this is what Dhamma is for. That's why it can become a living Dhamma. And it's very useful. Everywhere you go, you need Dhamma. Without Dhamma, I tell you, life is not easy. And most people get into big trouble. Because they lack Dhamma. Especially when they confront the realities of life and existence, they cannot accept. Many of these things they cannot accept. Especially getting old, getting sick and die. Then relationship problem, financial problem, their health problem. A lot of worry. Then when things don't go your way, even career problem, business problem, all this can be very, very difficult, very traumatic. So it's the skill that you develop through understanding the Dhamma that enable you to confront them with understanding. Like you said, you just accept it and move on, then it's like not like before, making you worry, angry, unhappy, very worked up. No more. You can accept those reality, then do what you have to do, resolve things amicably, approach people nicely, speak to them nicely, then radiate love, radiate metta, then understand that there are causes and conditions. So from now onward, I don't create karmic negativity. In future, I won't receive them. Then life after life, you continue this type of living, hateful living, no more heedless living. Then you realize your karmic nature become purified. You got less and less of all this. That's why this life and my nature come. It's like everything is so smooth sailing, so perfect, so beautiful. Oh, I used to share this with my wife and people who know me. They say it's like, allow you to plan also, you cannot plan until so perfect, so beautiful. Everything just falls into place. Oh. And like, I got no problem. Not only me, you know, even my family, my brothers, my sister, and those who have faith in me. Their life is all beautiful. So, this is something that you can't explain to people. Yeah, this is nature's law. And nature's law is what Dhamma is all about. Yeah, Dhamma is truth. Basically, nature's truth. Yeah. And the essential Dhamma are the important teaching of the Buddhas. That's why he called it the Noble Truth. Truth that can make you noble ones or enlightened ones. And when you understand all this, you see the importance of this teaching, you will never, never be foolish again or heedless again. You will go all out to cultivate this teaching. But this is what money cannot buy. And after this window, you cannot find this teaching anymore. You don't make the vow, the aspiration. So do make full use of this particular window to develop this understanding until it's very, very stable. Until it's part of your nature. If this life you cannot understand all this until it's part of your nature, you ask yourself, what is your chance when you are born into the period when there is no Buddha Sasana? You don't stand a chance at all in there. But because you take this vow, you make this determination, aspiration, you want to have this type of right view, right understanding, life after life, whenever your nature arises, whether you choose to come or you have to come, then you ask for repentance, forgiveness, to break all of karmic obstruction. You make all those vows and aspirations. Every life, your coming will be beautiful. So this is what you need to do, nothing else. Forget about even want to become enlightened. Enlightenment is a natural process that will come when you understand all this. You just have to plant the seed, the condition for all this to take root. That's why the first seed of Bodhi is very important. Bodhi Singh, the seed of Bodhi. You make that resolve, that faith, plant it strongly. Then after that, determine, following the Bodhisattva vow that I teach you. You are home. You no need to do anything else after that. Nature will take you along. Your affinity with all those great beings will take you along. Their vows will take you along. Technically, you don't have to do anything. It's as simple as that if you understand. But when people don't have the faith and don't have the understanding and they allow this window to slip, nobody can help them. This is what this particular book is for. This book is very important. The message inside there is very, very important. And I hope by repeating all this emphasis, Kayanamitas, all Kayanamitas should have the understanding by now to really go through this book, Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way. Then develop the clear understanding and determine, make the aspiration, make the Bodhisattva vow, then plant the seed of Bodhi strongly, firmly, with faith, with understanding. with great sincerity to walk this way, you only need three things. Sincerity, faith, and perseverance. Then the way is there, the path is there. No need to know, just have these three. Have faith, be sincere. Then diligently just cultivate. Don't try to know. Then everything will unfold. It's so simple. And yet people don't understand. That's why when you understand, the whole focus is no more about meditation and all those things. Forget about that. Just do this. Because you plant the seed of Bodhi, invoke the power of merits. Make all this aspiration for all this right view, right understanding to arise. And invoke power of merits for causes and conditions for you to always avoid the foolish. Meet up with the wise so that enlightenment in the here and the now can be realized so that your cultivation can be developed. Yeah? And all those vows that you make can come to fruition. Yeah? So all these are not difficult. Can be done. It's just faith, sincerity, and perseverance. That faith, you determine it strongly. It will allow you to plant the seed of Bodhi firmly established. Then all of the other right views, right understanding, will help you to walk the path of Dhamma successfully. Then how to cultivate great affinity with all this great being. By chanting, yeah, whatever for how, or their whatever special teachings, or suttas. Then the other way is by paying respect, have gratitude, have contentment, then sincerely, thank them for all those that they have given you, the blessing, the protection, and the guidance. Then pay your respect. Then sincerely, to your faith and understanding, request for their constant protection, guidance, and blessing, life after life, whenever your nature arises, especially Kuan Yin's nature. Amitabha's nature is also very beautiful. You have affinity with Amitabha. You can also make that request. Then there are countless great beings which you can develop affinity with. Because over the eons and eons of birth and death, you would have met many. So these are very beautiful understanding and teaching that can pave the way for you to develop all this cultivation. Then later on, as your nature evolves, you can also build upon what you have learned and your own understanding. Then make this way even more beautiful. That's why this nature's mission, this life, is to introduce such condition and understanding so that the future bodhisattva can cut short their training by a lot. Then after that, people will make use of this to evolve further. And the world's consciousness or the universe consciousness or living beings consciousness will become more and more potent, more and more different. So that the future world system will be very different. So in future, if your nature is still around and you choose to come, you will have the condition to go through beautiful existence. In fact, this very existence of my disformed mind, my nature knew, this is the era which this nature chooses to come, the transition period, to see this beautiful existence, civilization. And this nature picked at the right time with all the right condition to experience this type of good civilization, good life. We call it the golden era. Actually, the last 30, 40 years was phenomenal, fantastic. And going forward, the next 10 to 20 years will be even more phenomenal. That's why earlier on was like the Kayamita falls stronger and stronger year by year, then month by month, then day by day. Now it's moving like every moment, every instant. That's why things are moving very fast. The consciousness is moving very fast. The nature of Kayamita, they can move equally fast. You have the understanding. And this teaching, this understanding, because they are all in the website recorded, it can be very, very beautiful. Yeah. So I really rejoice with today's condition for all this to unfold. It is in fact a very beautiful session sharing. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. That's why it will turn out to be a blessing in disguise. And there's a reason why only seven of us are here. six of us. Oh, yeah, you can let Brother Tim share. Yeah. Never mind, I finish it. Never mind. Next Thursday, you and Song. You see, like I mentioned just now, there's a reason why only six or seven of us here. And it will turn out to be a blessing in disguise, you understand? Because this is a condition for it to be an informal thing. Then we can share all this. Yeah. You see, it so happened tonight, like Paramasuri say, a lot of the Thursday class, Kayamita who's supposed to come, they are not around. Jingyao, Lei Hong, then Kiet Hun. Kiet Hun is in Penang, helping the sister to do the whatever, cleaning up of the flood and all those things. Then I think many Kayamita also cannot make it because they have their appointment, like Song. Song is taking the mother to Bali via company trip. Then even I was still Jin Hao and PG, they all, even Polian, they are not free. So it's meant to be. And these are very meaningful and beautiful condition for you to understand what Dhamma is all about. Dhamma is not about the mind that is rigid, understand? Most people would have thought, you're today only six or seven. Then like just now, Paramasuri, after dinner, I say, I think the rest all cannot make it. I say, good, six or seven hours, better, we can have an informal. And it turned out always to be the blessing, because this Thursday class, when I started, it was only two or three person. And I told Eng Vi and Mi Fong and the Tai Suyan also did call him in. I said, don't worry, even if there is one, as long as you are sincere, I will still come and teach and share. No problem. And that was 9 years ago, or 2006. That's why all this, you will come to understand. Then this is what sharing is all about. The one that have gone forth before will develop the understanding for the rest to follow. Like you take the Bodhisattva vow. That's why you recite as per all the previous Sugata or great beings or Buddhas and Bodhisattva who have walked this way, who have completed this way. So too, our nature will take this vow to cultivate and do all this. So they are the one that show the way. Then we can actually improve on it and walk it differently and perfect it differently. This is what evolution is all about, like civilization. If you have the right understanding, the right condition, it will evolve and become very beautiful. And like civilization, it can rise and it can fall. But the Dhamma is different. When you have the understanding, it will only rise. It will never fall because of the understanding. The rise and fall is because living beings have basic greed and fear and delusion. Alarm, very good. So exactly 10:30, our clock also very accurate. Sadhu. Okay, we end. Very good sharing. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let us share merits and transfer merits with all beings, starting with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva chirang rakkhantu loka sasana itta watta chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe tam eva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyate tu idang me nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo emina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu yao nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Sakyamuni Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, Maitreya, and all the great beings and worthy ones. Then we end.